y'all. I'm Han.
And I'm Dad.
And we're here to give biblical solutions.
Crazy problems.
Welcome to the Han and Dad podcast. Well, Dad, here we are again. Another episode of the Han and Dad podcast.
Yes, this has been great. Our new
great
setup.
Great experience, yeah.
Yeah, our second time on the new setup with the lights and everything.
Yeah.
Much
better.
Yeah, doing good. Really enjoying. Hoping that what we've been sharing has really helped some folks.
Yep, reaching a lot of people.
Yeah, gotten to some kind of some controversial topics and things, but I think some issues that almost everybody deals with from time to time.
Yeah.
And I think we have probably another topic today that's been on your heart that I believe is going to help a lot of people as well.
Yeah, I agree. And with that being said, we'll get into today's topic, which is, what do you think the Bible has to say about gender roles?
Oh, wow.
What is the biblical stance of gender roles?
Yeah, and that's a big topic. I had to kind of break that down.
It is a very big topic.
A little bit, but you know, the Bible is clear, and I wrote down a couple of notes here about that. So what you really have to think about is where you start from. The foundation of what you're talking about here is where you start from.
Mm-hmm.
So understand where we're coming from is what the Bible says, that God created how many genders?
Two
genders, male and female. And so from that, you realize that I think a lot of what the problem is in today's society, people...
There's so many genders.
Yeah, there's so many. And so I got the thinking about that, and it's actually very interesting because the word gender doesn't really originate until, according to dictionary.com, like 1300 to 1350 AD.
Oh, wow.
And so I kind of followed that trail a little bit about the gender. And in the Webster's Dictionary, the word gender, now get this, in the old Webster's Dictionary, 1828, the definition of gender is a sex, male or female. Now, the newer Webster's edition, here is the definition for gender: the behavioral, cultural, or psychological traits typically associated with one sex. And so it kind of changed. And dictionary.com, kind of the same things, either the male or female division of a species differentiated by social and cultural roles and behavior. So it kind of appears that it's kind of changed. Definition kind of changed a little bit about gender.
Time.
Yeah, but the Bible clearly states there's just two genders, male and female. And that is really hard enough, whether you're male or female. It's an ongoing life challenge to fulfill that role.
Yeah.
And so when you start adding in the different genders, I think it really causes people to struggle. And again, I just want to say, if there's anybody, you know, we have a place for comments. Now, if there's anybody that struggles with the gender issue, you know, I've done some pastoral counseling and things. I'd love to talk with people.
Yeah, please email us
and
or comment.
Them, you know, and just point them back to what the Bible says. And it's one of those things. I know it's a heated topic these days, and everybody has their opinion about that. But the best thing we can do is just point people back to the Bible.
Right, to try to help them,
right,
not
so they
to
can
bash
see
them.
That. Get the foundation
there
about the gender. But the Bible is clear. There are different roles for male and female.
Right.
And the Bible states that for a reason. And when God created the two genders, and there are two main thoughts about that. And so, again, these are a couple of big words. And so wrote those down as well. But the first one is complementarianism.
Oh, wow.
And the
second
second one is
never heard of it.
Egalitarianism.
Never heard of that either.
And so it's kind of, but probably all of our viewers probably have one distinction or the other about their opinion of it. So complementarianism really is probably where, if you're conservative in your thinking, this is probably where you're coming from. It's a teaching that masculinity and femininity are ordained by God, and that men and women are created to complement each other.
That's really interesting.
Or complete each other. And so, and this is according to GotQuestions.com, by the way, helps explain it. But also the belief is that the gender roles are found in the Bible, and they're purposeful and meaningful. And when applied in the home and church, I think we're going to talk about that in a few minutes about the church, but it promotes the spiritual health of both the men and women. Embracing the divinely ordained roles of men and women furthers the ministry of God's people and allows men and women to reach their God-given potential. And so whether you're male or female, I mean, I think we all agree that it's hard to fulfill that role because the roles change in life.
Right.
As you get older, you know, you're male, female, and of course you're me being a young man, you know, you look to others to fulfill that role, how to act and everything and treat women and treat others. But then you get older, you get married. So then your role changes into what?
A husband.
Husband. Right. Yeah. And then you have kids, your role changes into
father.
A father. And so it is very difficult and it's a lifelong process.
Yeah.
But it's something that the Bible teaches us and helps us. So the best thing we can say is for those watching, go to the Bible, look that up and see what does God say about your role as man or woman. And so what's your thoughts on some of that? I mean, as far as you being a young lady, would you say that you had some maybe role models in life, or how did the Bible help you, especially as you're now married, a new wife and looking to be a mother someday? I mean, what do you take from the Bible? What was something you could say that might help a young lady out there today?
Well, I think the Bible, you know, there are several instances where the Bible does refer to your role as a wife. One of those scriptures actually I have pulled up is in Ephesians 5. Give me just a second so I can look it up here. Okay, so Ephesians 5, starting in verse 21. This is on spirit-guided relationships for wives and husbands.
Okay.
Starting in 21. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. So if you read that, it tells you that you need to submit to your husband. And I know for a lot of people, especially my age, and me included, we don't want to submit to anyone, let alone a man. Because why would I submit to a man when he's just going to say, okay, well, you're a woman, get in the kitchen, make me a sandwich. That's what you do. Do the laundry, take care of the household chores, because that's what you do as a woman. But if you keep reading and start in verse 25, it'll say to the husbands. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Now, if you read that, it tells you that the husband needs to abide by the love of God.
Right.
Meaning if your husband is submitting to God, then your role as a wife biblically is to submit to him as well. And that is his God-given authority is to be over you. But I think a lot of men in today's time, they don't submit to God. They do whatever they want to do. And they say, well, because I'm a man, I can do whatever I want to do. And that's not at all what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying, as long as you submit to God, your wife should submit to you. But right. Women, we don't want to do that because you're not seeing men who submit.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, submit to God.
Yeah, and that's the role of the husband, being the leader, like being the leader of the home.
Right.
That's it's not a role of just telling others what to do. It is that the servant role. It's like being the head of a company or a business. Even if someone else makes mistakes, you're still responsible for that household and and the family. And men, you know, you mentioned something about the men talking to the women, your place in the kitchen or the bedroom or whatever. So I want to just say to the men for a moment, we have to be very careful, especially when you have young boys around, because they'll listen to that. And sometimes I think men can abuse, if you can call it a gender authority, God-given authority, you can abuse that. Because you promote the male gender as
masculinity,
me man, you woman,
right? Dominance.
Yeah. Well, was it toxic masculinity?
Yep, toxic masculinity. Yeah,
term out there. But we as men, and we have to be careful. We laugh it off sometimes. You know, men stand around talking and stuff about women, but we need to be respectful and let the younger boys and younger men see that, because I think that's what throws everything off sometimes. Is the women say, "I'm not going to submit to this man or this, you know, my husband even." Because sometimes the men get that role messed up. It's right. not a God-given role, so that we can put our wives in submission. It's
right.
a God-given,
misuse it.
God-given role for us to be submitted to God, so they want to submit
right.
to us. And so it's a really, as a man, it's a position of humility and service. But we got to be careful. We can abuse those gender terms sometimes, being male or female.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just to talk about what you were saying, talking about service, and, you know, and I know the role for a Christian is to serve others, but I think a lot of Christians abuse their position, if you will, quote-unquote position, of being a Christian to look down and judge others. And that's not at all what the Bible calls us to do.
Right.
And if you turn over to Titus, I got another scripture for y'all.
Okay.
Give you a biblical solution on how a Christian should act. Okay, Titus 3, starting in verse 8. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. If people are causing divisions among you, give a first and second warning. After that, I have nothing more to do with them. For people like that have turned away from the truth, and their own sins condemn them. So what do you think that scripture is saying?
Well, you know, and it really goes back to the heart of whether you're man or woman, living according to what God says. And I notice it said in there, don't waste time quarreling.
Right.
And
or cause division.
Causing division. And whether it's in a marriage, a relationship, or in the church, so much time is wasted. Again, sometimes going back to the gender role, the man wants to be right.
Right.
But let's be honest, men, a lot of times we know the woman's right. We don't like to admit it, but a lot of times the women are usually right. But when the women begin, you know, a woman can argue with the man and say, "I told you I was right," then he gets defensive and it goes on. And in the church, unfortunately, the fact is there are a lot of churches that have split over issues like this, people arguing and wasting time
yeah.
instead of acting like they should as the role of men and women, loving one another, serving each other, being respectful to one another. Then they end up, you know, just arguing and causing problems.
And that's terrible, because, you yeah. know, a lot of people take their kids or their grandkids to church hoping that they'll find Jesus. And right. most of the time that's not the case. You know, my husband, Therese, as you know, he was not brought up in a Christian household. His father was not there. His mother was never around either. And his Nana would actually take him to church. She said she took him to church yeah. a couple of times when he was younger. And he said he would sit through the service and, like any kid, just wait to go home, because that's what kids do. You know, they just sit there because they don't know what's going on. And then they go home and you don't have anyone teaching them about Jesus. Hmm. Instead, they're just trying to sit there and learn when they can't comprehend, and they're not having that one-on-one relationship with someone who's teaching them about Jesus. And a lot of people think that the church is going to do that and just teach your kids or your grandkids about God, and that's not always the case. Sometimes you're going to have to be the one to introduce them to Jesus, because sadly a lot of churches don't do that anymore.
Yeah, you know, that was a problem we ran into the first church pastor when we were in Florida at Oaky Ridge. We ran into that problem with the young men, especially. They had a group, and Baptists will probably know the name of the group. It was the GAs, Girls in Action, and then the RAs, the Royal Ambassadors. And the girls program, the Girls in Action, it was flourishing. But when I got there, I noticed that there was a problem with the RAs, the young boys, and I was told, we can't find a man to step up and teach
Oh, my goodness.
You teach the young boys.
That's crazy.
On a consistent basis. And one or two would try to volunteer. But we as men, have we looked at that gender and say, you know, or looked at the gender issue? And if some men said, well, that's a woman's job to
teach.
To
nurture the kids, teach, take care of them.
Let them nurture and teach. But it clearly states in the Bible that the older men are to teach the younger men, older women teach the younger women. But I saw that in the church, and I think that's true for the church members that are watching. You can probably see that. A lot of times it's the men's side of it. And then moving ahead to the next church at Cars Hill, we always had a struggle with the men's group, finding a men's leader. And it ended up, I stepped into that position, and really it's not a good idea for your pastor to be the men's leader. It should be somebody else.
Yeah.
But that role of teaching, the men, we need to understand that we have a role in teaching not just our families, but also in the churches as well, on the job, being a teacher. And that's not something that's just for the women, but maybe that's something in society that, hey, men feel that, well, that's the woman's role.
Right.
No, it's for both genders to teach.
Yeah, and I think a lot of men will need to hear that, because just like you said, there's a lot of men in households that don't step up and be a parent to their kid. Instead, they're like, okay, well, here you go. I helped conceive you, and now your mom's going to raise you. That's it. Well, sometimes you have a mom who also doesn't raise the child. So then how is the child going to have anything, have a relationship with Jesus, learn about anything when neither parent's involved?
Right.
You need to step up and be a parent.
And that's kind of that old school thought for men. You know, I go to work, I make the bacon, bring home the bacon. I get home, kick my boots off. You make supper, you take care of the kids, don't talk to me about the issues.
Yep.
You know, your place in the kitchen, take care of the kids. And that's not what God intended. God intended the husband and the wife to co-parent and to spend time, you know, with the kids and,
right.
and teach and do Bible lessons. And looking back, that's one thing that I wish I would have done more of when y'all were younger, is to do the Bible studies and things. And I know we did some, and, I remember one time we even had a worship service. Remember that? We had a little worship service.
Yeah, we used to have a little Sunday service in the living room.
Yeah, when we had like a weather cancellation or something. And
yeah, Hank would preach.
Hank would be the preacher. You'd be the worship leader. Yeah, you know.
I remember.
And Mom and I would be the audience and everything. And kids loved that. And I can tell you, as parents, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the husband or the wife, mom or dad, showing them that attention. They love it. But, yeah, sometimes that role as a man, we think, oh, well, my job is done when I open that door and get home, want supper and everything. And that's not the way God intended. And so, yeah, we need to call upon the men to step up and be that nurturer.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that is, I'm going to make excuses for men, but I think it's a little more unnatural for us as men to be the nurturer and, you know, showing kindness. We're like, you know, we want to be tough and everything. But what we have to remember, and this is interesting, and I never really thought about this before, but studying for the topic, really your role as a woman, my role as a man, anybody's role, really is a bit unnatural for us as sinners, because we're always going against, in the old flesh, we're going against God.
Right.
This is a God-given role.
And wow, that's such a great thought.
Yeah, and the old flesh is selfish.
Yeah.
So the woman might say, hey, it's your job. You make all the money. I don't want to do this or do that. I'm going to do what I want to do, or vice versa. The man says, hey, it's your job to do all the cooking, all the cleaning, and all this. So you can agree on those two things. And see, in the Bible, I don't see anywhere where it says that, you know, the woman shouldn't go out and get a job if she wants to, or the man can't get in the kitchen and cook,
of course,
all those kind of things.
Right,
yeah, discuss
right.
all that stuff. But sometimes we get selfish, and we got to remember we're fighting against the flesh. So
yep.
to be a true man in that role, or a true woman in the role that God wants you to have, it's going to take some sacrifice.
Right, it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, and spend that time with God. And so what happens are, a lot of times people get their idea of what it means to be a man or woman from, you know, Bubba up the street, or,
yeah.
or Uncle Joe, or Aunt Mary,
or their home life.
Yeah, or let's be honest, sometimes they weren't the best role models.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that one thing that can get in a family sometimes and pass down might be one of the worst things that could happen to that family.
Yeah, I don't think parents realize that what you're doing can affect your kids not only with your relationship with them, but it can cause them to have the same exact relationships in the future. Right. So if you're out there and you're having an affair on your spouse, the chances of your child seeing that and doing that.
Yeah, that's what they see modeled.
Right.
You know, and
they'll think it's okay.
And the way that, you know, if the husband is very aggressive or the wife's very aggressive, abusive, you know, verbally, physically, those kind of things. Yeah, that the child sees that and that can be passed down.
Yep.
So as adults, if we don't go back to the Bible and see what our true role is and how we can do a better job at that, then who are we to try to help anybody?
Yeah. And if you don't, they end up becoming adults and then they go off into the world and who knows what can happen to them. You know, just like I said earlier with my husband, Tyrese, he was not brought up in a Christian household. He didn't have any influence of the Lord at all. He didn't know anything about Jesus. And he got saved when he was 16 years old. And after that, you know, we both kind of strayed during that time of our lives. And neither of us were where we needed to be with our relationship with God. But he didn't have any kind of godly influence in the home at all. He had no one helping him. He had no one praying for him. He had no kind of guidance at all. And he strayed further into the world because that's what I see my parents doing. That's what I see all the other people doing. That's just normal. And that's what the world will tell you to do. Just go out, do whatever. But the Bible has a clear answer that'll benefit you for the rest of your life. You know, you can find a solution in the Bible. And God says if you pray and you ask him for guidance, even if you don't have a parent, if you open God's word, he will be a parent to you. And yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, just because
and help guide you.
Just because you didn't have a good mom or dad doesn't mean that you can't be one.
Exactly. And help you become a parent in the future. And, you know, Tyrese, he has become such an amazing man of God. I wish that people could meet him all over again because he's like a completely different person. And to see the growth and where he started from to where he is now, because he's been discipled, we've prayed for him, y'all have loved him, you've helped lead him and guide him in the ways of the Lord, and to see the change in him, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, to see a change like that is nothing but the Lord. And I know it's possible because I've seen it. God's done it to me, and now look where you can be with God's help.
Yeah, and I notice, you know, talking about Ty, you know, I've seen him reading his Bible and studying, and you think about a lot of times the young guys and young ladies, they get advice on how to be a man or woman from their friends.
Right.
And you might get somebody once in a while that gives you some good advice, but let's be honest, most of the time you probably get advice about what, you know.
Worldly things.
Yeah, selfishness, you know, right. you're the man, or, you know, you know, a woman saying, well, look, you know, just get the bag. That's all that counts.
Right.
You know?
Get the money.
How
yeah.
much money does he have? And, you know, things like
Make
that.
Make sure you get a good career, but nothing about a good marriage.
And you know, and once you get established in those that kind of thinking, it's hard to unteach that.
It is very, you know? Very, very difficult. But with God, it is possible. Yeah. And I believe if you ask him to help you with certain things, he can transform anyone.
Yeah, and that's the key. You have to want that
exactly.
change. And we were listening to a sermon and talking about, of course, you know, podcast ideas and things. So I did a little study, my own study, and I was looking up some godly characteristics or characteristics of a godly man.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw one. It was a list of 10, and I thought, oh, boy. I'm just going to look at this and see how well I do on this. And I got looking in, and it was like every single one of those, I could do some improvement in.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, we all can improve on
yeah,
some things.
I was like, holy smokes, maybe I better go to another topic. But the truth is, it doesn't matter how old you are. There are no perfect men, no perfect women. So if we don't keep striving to be a better role model
right.
in whatever gender we are, then we're kind of stuck. But with the Bible and God's help, you can just continue on, and then you're to help others.
Right.
You know,
and it'll be a chain effect, yeah.
And there's an old saying, you can't lead anybody any closer to Christ than you are yourself, and you can't lead them to be any better role model than you are yourself.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, talking about the role of Christians earlier, I think a lot of people claim to be quote unquote Christians, and they'll share scripture on Facebook, they'll show up to church on Sundays, they'll show up to the events, but yet if they see a homeless person on the street, they're not going to stop. They're not going to go up to someone in Walmart and ask how they're doing. They're not going to call and genuinely spend time talking to you about your concerns and worries and struggles and pray for you, because they're not a genuine Christian, but they're claiming to be.
Right. And the role of a Christian, you know, and it says in the New Testament, it talks about we're all one in Christ.
Right.
You know, Jews and Gentiles or Greeks, which, you know, which us, we're all one in Christ. So really, when you think about the role of a Christian, that as Christians, we understand if you are not living the way you should as a faithful Christian, then guess what? Your role as a mom, dad, husband, wife, man or woman is not going to be what it should.
Right. Won't be valid.
Right.
And you won't be respected.
And so, but across the board, as far as the church goes, everybody should be living as close to Christ as they can.
Exactly. And trying to help others live as close to God as they can as well.
Right.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode.
And we hope that something we shared was very helpful to you.
And if you have any questions, please email us or leave a comment down below.
God bless you.